Welcome aboard the Pineway in the Sky. Please hold on. Thank you. No smoking, please.
Hello and welcome to Monorail Blue, a new podcast from Disney Examiner, your weekly source for all things related to Walt Disney parks and resorts. My name is Andy.
I'm Danny.
And here's what you've missed since our last stop.
All right, everyone, and welcome back. For our first stop, we wanted to talk about some news this week. We have a couple things to talk about, but first up, we're going to talk about an Orange County Register opinion piece. If you remember a couple episodes ago, actually Jordan and Andy talked about an opinion piece from the LA Times asking, or more of an investigative piece on their end, also opinion, in regards to whether or not Disney paid its fair share to the city of Anaheim, bringing up that question. And now, as of October 15th, the Orange County Register has posted a rebuttal article to that email, or to that article from the LA Times.
Articles, because there were two.
Yeah, and their article is simply titled, "In Fact, Disney Does Pay Its Fair Share." So the article was written by Lucy Dunn, and the article basically states how the LA Times, it basically defutes the articles that it wrote with a bunch of facts. So, and it provides undisputed facts about Disneyland and its position in the city, how much money it pays in taxes, how many jobs it provides in Orange County and in Anaheim. How it's improved the city, and just a bunch of other different facts. We'll list the show, the article in the show notes so that you guys can click and read it yourself if you haven't already found it. It's been circulating its way around social media, so I'm sure some of you may have already seen it. But it is pretty spicy. Andy and I were talking about it. It's definitely...
The last line in particular.
Yeah, the last line states... City residents and businesses both thrive if political leaders thoughtfully spend the riches entrusted to them. LA Times, stick to LA. So, they also start the article off pretty spicy too, talking about why Orange County broke away from Los Angeles County in 1889, and basically saying we're Orange County, you're LA, you can mess up your own county, leave ours alone. So it's basically,
it's pretty intense.
It is intense. I do agree a little more with Orange County Register. I know that Disney does pay a ton of money and it brings a ton of jobs. Whenever they have special events, it brings a ton of money for the city. I mean, it's the reason why they're building a plethora of new hotels on Coachella Avenue right now. And destroying all the old kind of motels that used to be there. It's because, there's money from the tourism that comes to the city, and without Disneyland, no one would come to Anaheim. In fact, it would probably be, the most run-down and crime-ridden city, second to Santa Ana. So it's like, there's not really a lot to draw people to Anaheim if Disneyland wasn't there. So, it's kind of just like beating up your, the hand that provides you kind of thing. It's like...
Yeah, I agree to some extent. I think I mentioned this in the episode. I mean, I thought the LA Times article was probably a little harsh. But also, too, I could see some validity to it. Because, I mentioned this in the previous episode, but... sometimes when businesses cities invest into a business and put a lot of public money into it, this city does get screwed for the most part. However, though, it, like you said, Disneyland is pretty much Anaheim, for better or for worse, and it is the largest employer. Is that in the article in Orange County, not just Anaheim, Orange County? So it's a huge part of the economy there. So kind of bashing it doesn't do anyone else good. So they, I mean, any disputes they have, they need to solve it. Because I said this also in the episode, Disneyland's not going anywhere. So they need to learn how to coexist.
Right, and it feels like prior leadership and, you know, political leadership in Anaheim seemed to have a better relationship, and it seems like only recently that this has become a problem for them, where they're being questioned and things are, you know, kind of leading on to our next story, how, you know, the city questioning Disney doing, like, their races and things that it can affect the city. You know, even though it brings a lot of money to the city, you know, as far as city revenue for Orange County in the millions, you know, they also don't like the impact on the city. So, you know, there's, it seems like they're being questioned a lot more. Who knows what the future could hold as far as, you know, a lot of local residents are not too happy about, you know, fireworks on a nightly basis. So, you know, who knows what that could mean for the future of Disneyland's fireworks shows as far as how frequent they can be. And whether or not that can be continue to be a daily thing, at least in the peak seasons. Or if it has to change again. So, you know, with new leadership in place, they're not... it seems like the newest leadership that's in place is not very favorable for Disneyland or the Walt Disney Company in general in that area. And to me, it just... it doesn't really make sense. Because short of the convention center, there's really nothing drawing people there. And even the convention center, it's a very nice convention center, but the reason why conventions choose to come to Anaheim is because of Disneyland.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue the sports teams, the Ducks and the Angels, but the Angels are during peak season and the Ducks are a hockey team. And I mean, hockey's cool and all, but it's not that big of a draw, sadly.
It's not.
And the reason why the Ducks are probably there is because Disney used to own them, if I recollect correctly. I mean, I don't know too much about the history of the Ducks, but, I mean, it's because Disney made Anaheim. Therefore, the Ducks, I guess when the NHL expanded, decided to look work there. But back on the marathon, it does seem odd. It's just, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Other than some political thing. Because... because I had a conversation with someone earlier in the day, and like people spend a lot of money. They stay in the hotels and they do coast to coast things. So I mean, this is a pretty big deal, and it's hundreds of dollars to do these races. And
right, and
I don't know why.
We didn't really kind of preface this, but what Andy's talking about is the newest story, or you know, news that you know we've had a rumor about this for quite a while. I know that. You know, Jordan and I have known about it kind of just as a rumor, but we didn't really want to talk about it until it was confirmed. You know, I heard about it on social media, but, you know, it was official as of the 18th of October that Disney, or Run Disney specifically, was going to cancel all the races in 2018 and beyond. For the Disneyland Resort. So any of the West Coast races beyond the already upcoming Avengers Half Marathon weekend in November of 2018 will be canceled. So I know that they had opened registration for the Star Wars Half Marathon Lightside in January, but they kind of closed it and said that like it was temporarily closed. And I know some people did register and they probably got refunds, but they have canceled every race in 2018. Disney did issue a statement. They said, while construction for the next several years will impact our ability to deliver the Run Disney experience our guests love, we are excited about our future as the Disneyland Resort continues one of its largest multi-year expansions. For fans who love to be part of Run Disney events, we will continue to offer races at our other properties around the world in 2018. So Disney is choosing to reveal or issue their statement saying that the upcoming projects for their multi-year expansion, so the addition of a new hotel for their fourth hotel, the addition of the Eastern Gateway, an expansion of Disney California Adventure Park.
Probably the Marvel-themed.
Yeah, the Galaxy's Edge expansion, as well as, you know, some rebranding and reconstruction in Downtown Disney. And if you think about it in that sense, it does make sense. Like, the fourth hotel coming is going to be where the Downtown Disney parking lot is, and that is an area that is typically used for a starting area or finish line.
Looks pivotal.
For the races. So, you know, that would have to be reconfigured and kind of rethought out where it needs to be, and just logistically, they probably can't figure that out right now. There's also, you know, when this was first rumored, it was rumored that the city was unhappy about it, or the mayor was unhappy about it, in the fact that it was such an impact on the city, as far as, you know, logistically, and it was always delayed as far as how long it was delaying everything on the roads, per se. But, you know, the races were generally held during off-peak seasons, and they were quite, you know, a boost for the economy in Orange County.
Because the article mentioned that.
Yeah, the article mentions that they generated about $20 to $30 million in revenue for Orange County. And that's outside of Disney's revenue and what they got. So who knows what they make in regards to, you know, just people doing the half marathon pay about $195. That's not including people that are doing, you know, the challenges or the other races the same weekend, or people buying the merchandise, staying at the Disney hotels, going to the parks, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Because that price does not include admission.
Right. It doesn't include admission to the park. So $20 to $30 million that Orange County Register is quoting is just revenue that the city in Orange County sees because of people that are staying, you know, on properties in Anaheim. And, you know, typically on the race weekends, most of the Anaheim resort, as far as the hotels, are completely sold out. So it definitely is a huge surprise for a lot of people who are, you know, eager to run the races each year. Like you mentioned at the beginning of when you first started talking about this, how people are really big on doing the coast to coast. That is a huge thing there. You know, the coast to coast medal that you can get is when you run a race on the East Coast and the West Coast. And you, not only do you get the finisher medal for the race that you're running, but when you complete that coast to coast, you get another special coast to coast medal. And each year, you know, it looks different, and it's quite elaborate, and people really try to get that. And even with like the Star Wars half marathon, you know, the one on the Disneyland Resort was the light side, and the one on the East Coast in Walt Disney World was the dark side. So it's like they may have to rethink that moving forward. So who knows?
Yeah, I'm bummed because I wanted to do a race, one of these, a half marathon in the near future, like probably next year. And then when I heard the news today, that kind of, well, because in the LA area, or Orange County rather, it's kind of the biggest half marathon that I know of. Because I also am not a runner, so I don't know all these little races. I'm sure there are more, but I mean, this is the one I wanted to do the most because of, you know, how good they are, because everyone who's done them, you know, sings how great they are. Like, you get to run through the park, you get to run through Angel Stadium sometimes, and even though I don't like the Angels, and as a sports fan, that sounds really cool. So, I mean, I it's just baffling. It seems, like you said, higher powers are involved. So, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully, it's not forever. I mean, once all the construction gets sorted away, we shall see.
Right.
But I mean, it's probably the biggest bummer to come out of Disneyland in quite some time, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. It is disappointing. A lot of people really kind of have come now to plan their trips around those race weekends, and you know, some people have made a lot of friends through these races that they wouldn't have normally. And, you know, they look forward to kind of meeting them each year at the races because they plan a trip around that. So,
I mean, the running community, because I know people who are part of some runner stuff, it's pretty tight-knit. And assuming, like, in it plus a running/Disney community, that just kind of ramps up its appeal, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a bummer for those people because, like, even the article, it quoted, like, a guy who lost weight by training for these things. So, I mean, I feel that's a good thing, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I ran
and anything to motivate people, because, let's face it, America's fat. anything to motivate people to get moving and, you know, active. And Disney kind of played into that. And it's a good motivation to, you know, train up and to do this pretty awesome 5, 10, or a half marathon. 5K, 10K, and a half marathon. So it's just, like I said, a bummer.
Right. I mean, I ran the Star Wars half marathon last year, and, you know, I trained for it for 6-7 months and, you know, completely, you know, blew my expectations about what I was able to do. So it was fun, you know, something to kind of like, something on the book, something to work towards. And I had always wanted to run a Disney race, and, you know, the Star Wars one seemed like the best one to do for me. And I was super excited to do it again, and hopefully, you know, it does come back at one point, or I may have to be doing a Star Wars marathon in Walt Disney World. But
I mean, you get a Disney World trip out of it, so I mean, that's not the end of the world,
right?
But it's still, like we said, a bummer.
And then our last story for our news section here is Disney announced that a new adventure from the Star Wars Last Jedi Episode 8 is coming to Star Tours this fall as well. So much like they modified Star Tours and added the, you know, the Force Awakens
Episode 10.
Yeah, to Star Tours, they're doing the same for the Last Jedi. So it's going to come to Star Tours. The adventures continue at Disneyland Park and Disney's Hollywood Studios, and it will take place on the planet of Crait, which we got a glimpse of in the trailer. You know, it's those kind of like low flying aircraft that kind of rub the sand and leave that like kind of blood red, like smoke coming out of it. So it looks like it's going to be from that scene. And it looks like they said it will debut at Disneyland Park and Disney's Hollywood Studios on November 17th, and also at Disneyland Paris on November 22nd, and at Tokyo Disneyland on December 15th. So, for those of you...
It's awesome they're rolling it to all the parks.
It's cool, and it's, you know, it makes it kind of have total new rewritability. People, like, want to, you know, get back on Star Tours again to, you know, try to get this... I wonder if they'll do it like last time, where everyone got that special segment right up, like, leading up
to I'm the probably movie. Sure. I don't know why they wouldn't, because if, like, let's say you're specifically going just to see this new sequence and you don't have a season pass or annual pass and you don't get it after waiting, because there's probably going to be a line for it, and you can only ride it so many times without dedicating all your energy to riding it. So I'm pretty sure that they're going to. I would be shocked if they didn't.
Yeah. Agreed. So that wraps up our news segment for this week. All right, everyone. And now for our main stop. We're actually going to talk about... We're getting another list episode. We're going to talk about our five favorite places to relax and just kind of escape with a quiet area, our quiet spots in Disney parks and resorts. And it doesn't have to be in the parks. It can be literally anywhere in the resorts that we, you know, find kind of serenity or just a nice place to kind of escape to when we're wanting to, you know, just get away from the hustle and the crowds of the resort.
Or heat, because sometimes it could be 1,000 degrees outside.
Exactly. Or from the rain, too. So, so let's see. Andy, you started off, so we'll have you start off with your number 5 choice.
So, and why that is. This one, number 5, is the Hungry Bear area, where the restaurant is, and now they kind of added that new thing. Walkway? That's probably the entrance to Star Wars Land or a entrance to Star Wars Land. So this might change once that opens. Or Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, rather. We went there when we recorded our live episode, and it was very calm and very serene, and you get to see the rivers of America. Then there's nice foliage, and you hear, you know, fake animal noises, so it's like you're in a forest. So it was very calming, and I'm like, hey, I don't come here enough, so... Next time I need a chill spot at the park, I'm probably going to head on over there.
That's a good pick. That's definitely, because I know that when we did our live episode, we kind of, I mean, I know you like the Hungry Bear area in general, but like when we did our live episode, there was kind of like that new pathway that went down the front. Yeah. Where like the downstairs, like dining area, an extended dining area of is for a Hungry Bear. And, we were just like, wow, this is so nice. Like, and they have, you know, like nature sounds and like there's bird noises and all this stuff. And you're just like, well, this is like, you're like, I should come here more. And then at night it changed to like crickets.
Yeah. And you get to see the train every once in a while.
Yeah. It goes over the bridge and stuff.
Yeah. It's a fun little spot.
All right. So for my number five pick, I'm going to Walt Disney World.
Okay.
With it. So my number five pick is at Disney's Beach Club and Yacht Club resorts, the beaches. So there's these swings in the sands that are kind of facing the boardwalk. And it's such a nice place. I love it when you're kind of in Epcot and you want a little break. You need to just kind of leave for a little bit, or if you're staying on property, or if you're just visiting the boardwalk, just kind of go around to the Beach and Yacht Club side, and you're on the water there. They have the sand, and there's like these swings set up, and you can just sit right on the swings, and it faces, you know, towards the boardwalk, and really at any time of day, it's really great to just sit out there. It's even better to sit out there during like illuminations when you can watch the fireworks while you're sitting out there. Or even like at sunset or sunrise, it's a really great view because Florida's so flat. you can see so much from just about everywhere. There's not a lot of people nearby. You know, you're just a stone's throw away from like one of the busiest pools at Walt Disney World. But it seems, you know, it's kind of its own little place, that beach. You know, a lot of people don't really sit there. The only time I've ever really seen it crowded is during like some of the movie nights that they have. But you know, there's no swimming in the water at the boardwalk. So, you know, you have to be really just wanting to kind of sit in the sand and relax if you're, you know, wanting to be on the beach. So it's a great little place. You can watch everyone walk by, at the boardwalk, or you can look in the distance and watch people at the pool, you know, at the Beach and Yacht Club. So it's just a really cool place. And I know a lot of people, that's like their signature spot, but definitely one of my top five for sure.
I mean, you can't beat a beach.
Yeah.
It's literally where some of the most desirable location or vacation destinations are. So, I mean, I can't argue with you on that one.
So, what about your four?
Okay, so mine is the patio area at the Starbucks in Downtown Disney. The one closest to the World of Disney store.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I mean, it's one of those places where it's a good, if you're going to meet up someone, you know, you didn't drive together, and then it's near the tram area, and there's a ton of people that go by, but not a lot of people sit in the patio, and it's shaded, and, you know, you can get your little drink, then you could sit there and, you know, just chill. And then when someone comes in, you know, you can just hang out for a bit before you go into the park. And they can get their drink in or a little snack or something and, you know, just chill for a bit.
Yeah, so that's a good one.
Number four.
And it's kind of close to the Grand Californian, so you know, you can hear some of their, you know, since you're kind of next to the Brisa Courtyard for the Grand Californian there, you kind of, you know, faintly hear some of their area music for the hotel when you're sitting there as well, too.
Yeah.
So that's a good choice. Good choice for sure.
What about your four?
My number four is the Fantasy Fair at Disneyland Park. It's not always the least kind of least crowded quiet place. But there are definitely times of day to go to the Fantasy Fair at Disneyland Park that are just excellent. You know, it's usually an area of hustle and bustle during all of the shows in the Royal Theater, and then of course people waiting to meet with the princesses in the you know, the Royal Princess Hall there. After, you know, the princess meet and greet shuts down and the showings are done for the day, that area really transforms into just a super quiet area. Like, there's just really nice area music playing. You have Rapunzel's tower statue right in the middle that, you know, every once in a while comes to life and lights up with Rapunzel's hair and plays the tune for the song that she sings, the healing incantation. So, you know, it's just kind of like a really neat area. There's like lots of little nooks and crannies in it to kind of sit down and relax if you've got like a snack, or, you know, you've got direct views of the castle, and it's, you know, and it's kind of off to the side, so you can sit there and kind of look at it and not have to kind of get out of someone's way or, you know, move for a picture as if you were standing in front of the castle or kind of on the pathways that surround it. People are trying to take pictures all the time around the castle, and Fantasy Fair is just kind of just to the side and very quiet. You know, it was quiet before when it was the Carnation Plaza Gardens too, and it kind of remains the same, you know, especially at certain times of the day, but definitely one of my top places to go to in Disneyland for sure.
You can't go wrong with that. I agree. I don't, to be honest, I don't head around that area often, because when I go to Disneyland, 99% of the time I go to New Orleans Square or Adventureland first. And then that's pretty much 90, like, I very rarely go to Tomorrowland or Toontown in Fantasyland, but I'll be sure to check it out. It's sounds like a cool place, and I mean, I respect your opinion, so
yeah, you'll, you know, I would
always
say,
try something new. Always try something new.
Head over there in the evening with like some kind of snack, and it's like a great place to kind of just relax and, you know, take a break for a moment.
All right, that sounds good. And then I'll go with my number three. This one's a little bourgeoisie, or little hoity-toity, but the lounge area in Club 33. I didn't put it number one because it's not normally accessible to most people.
The Salon Nouveau?
I don't know.
One that's next to it, right? The next to the club, main dining.
Yeah, it's not the actual club. It's the little bar area.
Yeah, it's called Salon Nouveau.
I did not know that. I was just brought into it, and I was like, "Oh, it's so cool!"
It's beautiful, beautiful place.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It's very. When I went, there was literally like no one there, and it's just very calm and serene. And they have like a player piano there. I mean, they can have live music there, but it's just, you know, you get that New Orleans vibe when you're in there, and they have paintings that are really incredible that move, and like they're kind of living works of art, and they look like real paintings too, so it's not like a screen. And it's cool, they have like a picture of a band, then depending on the song, the person in the band would disappear and enchant the instrument that they're a musician for. So it's really cool, and then you see them move, and once it's done they move back to the painting, and it's very chill. I mean, it's expensive, I'm not going to lie. And, you know, you can get a nice meal. And then just, I went in the evening when I went. And you just sit down and, you know, enjoy your meal.
Yeah. And you got to know someone who's a member.
Yeah. I'm not a member. I knew someone who was a member. Well, Jordan got me in. Jordan knew someone who was a member and invited me to go with. So, yeah. I mean, it was very fun.
Yeah,
it's and I got a hat from it. So.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Your classic Club 33 dad hat that you wear.
Yeah, I was gonna get Mickey ears, but I realized, like, because I don't own a pair of Mickey ears. That, like, if I were to own a pair, this would be the pair. However, I saw the golf hat, and I'm like, oh, that's way more practical. I mean, even though Mickey ears are great and all, but I rather show off that I went to Club 33, and everywhere I go, not just Disneyland.
There you go.
All right, what about you? What's your three?
My number three takes us back to Walt Disney World again. And it is the Nomad Lounge in Disney's Animal Kingdom Park, which is a fairly new addition to the park. I think it's maybe just a year old or a little over a year old, maybe. But it was such a great... it was such a great little find when we went. I was there in June of 2016, and we, you know, it was at that point almost brand new, and it was really cool because where it's located, it's kind of on like a water area of Disney's Animal Kingdom, removed off of some of the main pathways. At least at the time, when I was there, Pandora World of Avatar was not open yet, so there was a wall right there. I don't know if that pathway is as busier now that that area is open, but I remember when we were in the Nomad Lounge, it was it was super hot because we were there in June, and it was such a nice escape inside, the calming music, the atmosphere inside was very relaxing. And then, but the best part about it was, weather permitting, of course, because it was kind of hot, but they had this outdoor patio with just like these really large kind of outdoor furniture pieces that were super relaxing and inviting, that you could also sit out at. And it just kind of looked, it was like this outdoor deck that was kind of over the water, the back half of the lounge. And of course the Nomad Lounge is attached to their new signature restaurant, which is Tiffin's. If you're trying to figure out where it was located. But it was such a cool experience. And I thought, wow, this is such a great addition for Disney's Animal Kingdom Park, because they didn't really have kind of like a place like that, like kind of a lounge that you can kind of just escape the park for a couple hours, grab a drink, relax with friends, kind of escape the hustle and bustle. They had some really great restaurants, and, Yak and Yeti was really good for that. But Yak and Yeti's really packed. It's excellent restaurant, but this has a totally different vibe, and I just really was digging it when I was there, and I was super happy that they added that.
Do you have pictures that you could share to our listeners on the show notes? Because, it sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Probably demonstrated, I have not been to Disney World, and I really want to go, and... You just make it sound more enticing every time.
Yeah, I have pictures we can include of the Nomad Lounge for sure, and I took some pictures outside and on the deck area that I can send you so that you can post those in the show notes.
And we could post it on Instagram too.
Yeah, we could.
That would be cool. But yeah, that sounds awesome. I want to go to Animal Kingdom really bad.
That's definitely my top three now for sure.
Sounds good. All right, I'm going to move on to my two. And this is somewhat of a repeat, because it's, the Starbucks in DCA. Even though I mentioned a Starbucks, for my four. Mm-hmm. But this one I like because it's in DCA, actually, and you can still get all your favorite Starbucks drinks at, the counter. But whenever I go, it's usually air conditioning. It's not that crowded. It can accommodate a lot of people. And
it is a very large location.
Yeah. And not much. I mean, it can get crowded. I've seen it too. But, you just sit there, enjoy. You can get ice cream at Clarabelle's if you want, or candy at the shop next to Clarabelle's. And pretty much every time if I'm there for like an extended day period, I pretty much end up there without a doubt. It's not the most pretty location, but it's pretty convenient and it's quiet. I mean, you get to see the, Buena Vista Street-ish and the, Cafe Circle restaurant. And, you can probably catch the Newsy show every so often, but, it's just very chill and it's good. Like, I've been there with small children and, they could run around a little bit or, they have... like I said, tables to accommodate them. And yeah, it's a good group chill spot.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely because it's got the vibe of Buena Vista Street, which is super kind of jazzy. And, lots of people looking, people watching to do there for sure. And, who doesn't love taking a break nowadays in Disney parks and getting a Disney Parks Starbucks drink, it's kind of like, it's kind of like a, at both coasts, it's kind of like a tradition for people now. They love getting Starbucks in the park.
Yeah, it was probably one of the smartest partnerships they could do.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. So,
and your two.
My two. This one is kind of like your bougie one for Club 33, but this one was probably one of the best relaxing experiences I've ever had at a Disney resort. And I'm taking you to... Aulani my number two at least. But the Lani Vai spa at Aulani was literally the best spa I've ever been to. It was so relaxing. In addition to the treatment that I got you know, just a normal massage treatment. They have an outdoor meditation garden, which is huge, which is massive.
What part of the hotel is it at?
It's very close to the lobby. It's not in the same area as the pools, so okay. It's kind of separate. But they have their own outdoor meditation garden, and with a bunch of like pools that you can dip in, like with mineral waters and things like that, and outdoor
That's
showers.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, and I went there for a spa treatment and stayed in the afternoon in the meditation garden for like 6 hours.
Oh wow! That's
and just
awesome.
Like brought a book. Ordered room service there and just relaxed there the whole day with my family.
And I assume you can see the beach from there,
You
too.
Can't see the beach, no. It's facing towards, like, the meditation garden's kind of, like, facing towards the front of the hotel.
So inland.
It's kind of off the side, yeah. But when you're in the meditation garden, it's, like, they're purposely closing you in from the outside world, so you can't really see out.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
They've got, like, bamboo and tall trees kind of, like, closing you in, so it's like a hidden oasis.
Well, that's awesome. Is it big?
It is. It's very big. And for those of you that are wondering, because there's not a lot of spas that are like this, it is, like, a unisex, like, open area for both, you know, men and women to be in. So, of course, the spa treatment areas and the getting ready areas are separated by gender. So they have a men's side and a women's side, but then the outdoor meditation garden is all combined and you can go. So if, you know, if couples are listening and they're interested in doing that, but they don't want to be split up, you know, that's, you know, you are split up, you know, when you're in your respective changing areas and bathroom areas. But when you're in the meditation garden and the outdoor pools, it's all combined. So you can be with each other. There's plenty of seating out there. You know, we ordered room service and, you know, they brought it right to the spa and you're just, and they give you robes. So you're just totally just relaxed the whole time.
That sounds awesome.
And it was nice cause it's like away from the hustle and bustle of the pool, which is super busy at Aulani cause it's like the main feature, of course.
Oh yeah.
And it's, you know, not near the restaurants or anything like that. And it's just totally separate. The music that they play, it just gets you really in the mood and you don't even feel like you're at any kind of like busy fancy resort. You're just like in this kind of garden. And it was such a unique, it's one of my most favorite moments from the whole Aulani Hawaii trip was that spa. And it's like what I always tell everyone about. It's what I always recommend when everyone's asks me what they want to do at Aulani. I always say, if you can afford it and you can make the time for it, book a treatment at the Lanivai Spa. Because it's worth it, for sure.
Oh, it totally sounds worth it. I went to the Aulani. Well, I didn't stay at the Aulani. I visited it in 2015. And it's a very beautiful hotel and had one of the most amazing pools and beachside things. So, I mean, it's definitely worth a visit. And I probably wouldn't go to Oahu because, I mean, that's not the island I like because I like Maui personally. But, I mean, if I'm ever in Oahu again, I'm definitely going to at least book a couple nights at the Aulani. Because, I mean, it's totally worth it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then, all right, I'm going to go with my number one now. And it's the lobby at the Grand Californian Hotel.
I knew you were going to pick this one.
It's just... Once you're leaving, because there's an entrance to it at DCA, or you can get into DCA through the Grand Californian and vice versa. So it's like, you know, you're just tired and hot. It's just one of the nicest spots because there's the, in the lobby area, there's just couches. And you can just sit there and just chill. I've taken a nap there, to be honest, because the couches are also really long. And I've just sat there and just chilled and just enjoyed it too. It's just very beautiful. It's a very nice hotel. I've probably only been to 3 Disney hotels just inside of it. And the Aulani, it's the nicest one in a park. And then you can get free water. They have a little water near the bar and then you can get some snacks at a white water snacks. Or if you want to, you know, go fancy, you can go into the Napa Rose or something. But, I just enjoy it. It's very quiet. It's very spacious. You get to enjoy the kind of the redwoody sequoia vibe, you know, mountain lodge vibe. And I don't know, it's just my favorite spot to be in the hotel. And plus, too, it's close to Sprinkles. So,
That's important to Andy.
It's so important to me, because you could chill out, get a Sprinkles there, you know, sit at the pretty nice couch and have your free water and then enjoy cooling off from a hot day at the park.
Yeah, no,
what
that's
about you?
That's definitely one I could have picked, but I figured you might pick that one, so... But my number one is definitely something I would have always picked. And anyone that knows me knows that this was why this is my number one. And I'm going to link in the show notes the song or the music that they play, the BGM, the background music that they play in this area, because it's like one of the background musics I always play, like whenever I'm, you know, cleaning or in the house or like just trying to study, relax or whatever. I'll put it on in the background because it's like the best background music ever. If you're trying to study, if you're trying to get stuff done and be productive, like put this on. But my number one is definitely the Grizzly Peak Airfield area of Disney California Adventure Park. When they decided to it was already very, you know, scenic and nice when it was the Condor Flats area, and that led into the Grizzly Recreation area is what they used to call it. But when they redesigned the area, when they redid Soarin' Over California to Soarin' Around the World, they shut down the whole area and re kind of plussed it up, or, you know, did some placemaking.
They made it
there.
Nicer.
And they
made
added it a ton like of trees.
Forest.
Yeah. And they called it, now they call it the Grizzly Peak Airfield area. And it's right off Buena Vista Street. You've got, you know, the old Taste Pilots Grill, which used to be really gaudy and kind of out there. And now it's the Smoke Jumpers Grill. It kind of blends in with the trees and the scenic area. But just the music that they play, they pick this giant list of scores from like tons of great classic movies that like you'll hear the scores and you totally know what they're from. And there's this YouTuber that has compiled all of the scores into one giant, like almost 2 hour long song. And it's the exact same loop that they play in Grizzly Peak Airfield. And it's available on YouTube and we'll link it so you guys can play it, but it's so nice. But yeah, just going in there, even if you're eating at Smoke Jumpers Grill, always make sure you sit outside, on either side of the restaurant, kind of in the atmosphere of Grizzly Peak Airfield, because it's just so relaxing. Even the store that they changed to, they've got the little kind of placemaked area for like looking like it's a wilderness kind of recreation area for like a national park. They've got like a old time car there that looks like it was, you know, parked there from a family that's on like a family road trip, and, you know, just like a bunch of postings up for, you know, like national park and ranger stuff with like the lookout there. And then, they've changed the airplane at the end of the runway there and the whole, and then it kind of just really, in my opinion, flows a lot better into the Grizzly Peak area. Even though it's all called Grizzly Peak Airfield, it flows better into the existing Grizzly Peak area that was already there. And really just makes that whole area of the park super relaxing. And of course it goes right into, Andy's pick right there where the Grand Californian is at. And, you know, the Grand Californian really fits well too with that scene.
I agree. Totally.
They did such a great job with that. It was one of my favorite changes to Disney California Adventure Park over the years. And I love going into that area and just, you know, chilling out. And I like to go, I specifically go to Smoke Jumpers, even though it doesn't have my favorite food in the park. I'll go there specifically because of the atmosphere.
I probably agree with you that that's probably the nicest area in DCA, because Paradise Pier, I mean, it's kind of noisy because it has that carnival vibe and you have the, you know, California Screaming, and you hear that like noise, you know, when they launch on the roller coaster. And Cars Land's cool, but I mean, it is nice looking, but it's not scenic. And Hollywood's a whole mess, I think, because it's just, you know, there's nothing really there other than like parties and Marvel meetups. So, I mean, I 100% agree with you, because it just, it's very serene. You got that forest vibe, and yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree.
Yeah, it's. I'm gonna send you the link, Andy, to that so that you can listen to that music.
That's what I love about YouTube, because when I use music if I need to focus, I kind of do similar stuff, but with video game music soundtracks of old video games.
Same. Do the same.
So thing. Yeah, so because they put, you know, because they put whatever on a loop for like 10 hours, so it's good. It's very familiar. It keeps you focused. So I mean, yeah, totally. I agree with you.
Cool.
I probably should have put that too, but you know, we try to be different. Yeah. But also, we don't coordinate these lists beforehand, so we can have genuine reaction. And
exactly, we don't coordinate. But when I was thinking it through, I was just like, you know, I'm not gonna say the Grand Californian because I know that Andy might say that one, and I'm gonna pick some Disney World ones because I have plenty on my Disney World list, and I have so much more Disney World I could have mentioned. You know,
Disney World is so massive.
Yeah, I mean, even just the entire Wilderness Lodge Resort in general is just, you know, it encompasses this, you know, as a subject. It is off the beaten path. It is very scenic and serene and, you know, quiet. And, you know, the running trails and just the little hiking trails around Wilderness Lodge are all about that. You know, not even mentioning, like, the beach at the Polynesian, you know, the grounds at the Grand Floridian. Like, you can just go on for days with Disney World. So, but I picked like kind of my two favorite spots at Disney World that at least always stick out to me and kind of like my go-to things that now, at least with the Nomad Lounge. And then of course the beach and yacht clubs beach, like that was kind of where I always made sure I made at least a stop there at one point during any trip that I go.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Monorail Blue. If you like this episode, please subscribe to us on iTunes and leave your feedback. Give us a 5-star review. It helps other people find the podcast. In addition, if you want to send more detailed feedback, please send us an email at monorailblue@disneyexaminer.com. Also, please give us a visit at our social media pages at Monorail Blue on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also, please follow at Disney Examiner for all the latest Disney news. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful week.
No smoking, please. We are circling the Disney-created Seven Seas Lagoon. Rising from the Magic Kingdom, on the opposite shore is Cinderella Castle. You can also see Disney's mountain range, Big Thunder Mountain and Splash Mountain in Frontierland, and Space Mountain in Tomorrowland. To the right-hand side...